He is recognized as a turnaround CEO in Asia. And other accolades or other titles that have been given to him is like the man who turned red into black. He was considered a local hero. He was also called a turnaround manager as well. And he's widely known as the CEO who led the companies under his purview to become one of the first in their respective industries to achieve the ISO 9001 certification. And he's also the president of the Marketing Institute of Singapore. And he's also a fellow of several prestigious professional institutions, including the Institute of Management in the UK and also the Chartered Institute of Marketing in the UK. And if you've been listening to Positive Business Minutes on News Radio 938, you'll know that he is a contributor as well to that series. And he is Dr. Mike Teng. Hello, Dr. Teng.
Morning, Chuki.
Good morning. Good to have you back in the living room here on News Radio 938 to talk about a corporate turnaround. Congratulations on the launch of your book. Before we talk about the book itself, that definition, sick company and healthy company, what qualifies a company to be classified as a sick company, Dr. Teng?
A sick company is classified as one which faces immediate cash flow problem and even profit problems. And in my book, I've actually defined sick companies to also include stagnant businesses and businesses which have lost their competitiveness. And these companies will soon find a crisis down the line if they do not address their problems immediately.
So it's all about fiscal health then?
That's correct. There are actually many similarities between a person and a company. Just like in the case of handling the health of a person, you want to make sure firstly that you prevent the diseases from happening. Secondly, you want to have early diagnosis. And once you find there's a problem with the company, with some illness, you want to give proper treatment. So the same applies for companies too. You know? That's in the case of the company, when it has a problem, it's normally, for example, due to perhaps a financial problem. And the company also requires a doctor, and in this case, would it be a doctor if it is sick?
Okay. But well, as with most health conditions, right, let's keep to that analogy, which, by the way, I'm going to ask you to chat about in a while. It's really important to get a proper, accurate diagnosis. So in the case of a company, I mean, with our health, hopefully it is that health practitioner, that doctor. But in the case of a company, I mean, who is the doctor? Who plays the role of the doctor to diagnose a company's health? Is it the accountant? Or what is it, a financial director or something?
Right. Okay. It's quite unfortunate in that companies send their staff for medical checkups and so forth. But there's no such a kind of a regular checkup of companies. And quite often when a company is sick, it is perhaps due to the CEO himself. You know. So, and unfortunately...
Due to the CEO.
Yeah, due to the CEO, the chairman himself.
He's the germ.
Yeah. The source of the problem.
The virus. And, oh dear, toxic CEO.
And unfortunately too, we find that the traditional accounting system like the profit and loss and balance sheet items do not indicate early enough the ailments of the company. So when the bottom line shows red, quite often the company is very sick. So when a company is very sick, quite often it's actually forced upon them, you know, to seek for external help, like engaging consultants or you know, a corporate doctor to heal them.
Okay. Now, about using all these medical concepts or analogies, actually, I mean, I noticed that in your book, you know, you talk about surgery, resuscitation, and of course, you know, even some title there of nursing or something. I mean, why have you chosen to use all these medical terms and analogies?
Competent now is a very esoteric subject, so I thought there's something I could share to make it simple, to do it into a DIY, do it yourself, a framework where people can relate to and they're practical and universally applicable. So in my book, I actually propose a three-phase approach. For a very sick company, it probably has to go through surgery, to restructure the organization, to face a new harsh reality, and to immediately improve on its cash flow. But just going through surgery is not good enough. As the doctor once said, the surgery may be good, but the patient died. So the company needs to go on to the next stage, and I call it the resuscitation stage, where it needs to revitalize the business, basically to improve on its top line and profitability. And after which, it's still not good enough, because phase two and phase one are really basically the signs of the turnaround. You need to go through the last stage, the phase three. I call it the nursing phase, where the company needs to rehabilitate a strong and healthy immune system so that it can handle the changes and the attacks from the marketplace. Just like a human body, for example, the best way to fight diseases is not to take drugs, actually, because there are chemical effects, the side effects, and what have you. The best way is actually natural, to develop a strong immune system. That way you can really fight the external viruses.
So in the company landscape, then, what would constitute a strong immune system?
A strong corporate immune system, in my definition, is basically to build a strong and healthy corporate culture that is fast-footed, that is flexible, and encapsulate a core philosophy of risk-taking, entrepreneurship, drive, and passion.
All right, we're chatting with Dr. Ting about corporate turnaround in the living room. If you had a comment or a question for Dr. Ting, please call the living room at 669-11938. 669-11938. Or you can email livingroom@mediacorpradio.com, livingroom@mediacorpradio.com, or fax us at 625-12938. 625-12938. Dr. Tay, earlier you made that comment that very often perhaps it is the CEO that might be behind a company becoming sick or falling ill. Now, the CEO might then want to say it's because of the economic climate. So are you taking it all independently? I mean, of course it works, you know, in the environment of the business climate as well. I mean, what part does that play in the health of a company?
Sure. I've actually defined two types of viruses that affect a company. The first one is what I call the internal biases. And internal biases will include incompetent management, perhaps a bad CEO, HR problems, poor financial system. A lot of these factors are actually internally driven. There's also another category of what I call corporate biases, and they're actually external biases that affect you from outside. And these are due to, for example, changes in consumer behavior, terror attacks, September 11, I'll classify that as external attacks. And another example would be economic recession. That's also external biases. And these external biases are harder to control because they come from outside. So when I mentioned about bad CEO, that would really come under the internal biases as a cause of the problem for the company.
So for the other set of viruses, then, the corporate or external, would it be the same three phases again? Would you perform surgery as well?
Okay, the way to handle these biases or the medicine to prescribe is, in the case of internal biases, phase one and phase two would normally be more appropriate because you're dealing with acute problems and so forth. A phase three approach, which I mentioned just now, nursing, is really more suitable to be administered in handling external biases, because here we're talking about building a corporate culture that can handle changes in the future.
Okay. So what about with health as well? Recently, more people have come to recognize that it is a holistic approach that is really what should, what people should be working towards, and not just looking at each part of a body or a health system in isolation. Would that apply to companies then, to have a holistic approach to the health of a company?
This is exactly the thrust of my book, because what we are seeing is there is a lot of American type of downsizing. I call it the one-size-fits-all downsizing. And a lot of Western CEOs and so forth, they focus on the phase one, where it's surgical. You lay off, you downsize. But that's not good enough, because with every downsizing exercise, there are negative side effects. You know, the morale of the staff are affected and so forth. And that's why in my book, I'm proposing a holistic turnaround for long-term recovery. A company needs to go through all these three phases. And my recommendations is that they have to take the full course of antibiotics prescribed in those three phases for a complete recovery.
Oh, wonder what would be the antibiotics in the case of a company that's not the consultants?
Well, in some cases, yes, external help may be required, because quite often when a company is sick, it's very hard for the CEO himself to recognize that the problem is caused by him, or the management to recognize that the problem is caused internally. So maybe sometimes external catalysts may require to come in.
As with that very stereotypical depiction as well, like a bitter pill to swallow, or it might be a bitter medicine as well. Well, we're hearing more about corporate turnaround in the living room, and we'll continue to chat with our guest, Dr. Mike Ting, who's the author of this recently published book, Corporate Turnaround, Nursing a Sick Company Back to Health. It is published by Prentice Hall, and it is available in all the major leading bookshops here in Singapore. Dr. Ting is himself managing director of a U.S. multinational company, and he is also the president of the Marketing Institute of Singapore. He's going to be with us for another hour and a bit, so if you have a question for Dr. Ting about corporate turnaround, please call the living room at 669-11938. 669-11938. Or email livingroom@mediacorpradio.com. And if you have access to the internet, then please visit this website where you can get more information about corporate turnaround. It's www.geocities.com/corporate-turnaround. geocities.com/corporate-turnaround, spelled as one word. We'll be back in the living room after the news.
News Radio 938.
Catch the most exciting smart radio innovations at Broadcast Asia, 18th to 21st June at Suntec City. Find out how you can be part of our vibrant digital community at the Singapore Pavilion. And listen to MediaCorp Radio's newest smart radio stations on the new Blaupunkt Woodstock Digital Car Radio. Broadcast Asia starts 18th June at Suntec City. Admission free to trade visitors. For details, visit smartradio.com.sg. Smart Radio, a digital service on MediaCorp Radio, supported by Blaupunkt.
A station of MediaCorp Radio.
You're back in the living room. Perhaps today we should call it the healing room, because we're hearing all about nursing a sick company back to health, and about corporate turnaround with the author of this book, his book that he just published, and I mean not him, actually Prentice Hall published it, but it's just been launched on Saturday, Corporate Turnaround, by my guest Dr. Mike Ting. And Dr. Ting will take your questions, if you have any, about corporate turnaround at 669-11938. So please call us now or in the next half an hour, 669-11938, or email livingroom@mediacorpradio.com, or fax us at 625-12938. Well, with this part of the living room, if you missed out, Dr. Ting was sharing the three phases involved in what he calls the corporate rescue treatment, or the corporate turnaround. He was saying it involves surgery, resuscitation, and then nursing. He was sharing with us a little bit about the medical analogies he uses and the concepts, like the virus attacks that can come from the internal or the corporate or external viruses, and a little bit more about the whole concept behind turning around the corporation, like having a strong immune system. Dr. Ting, in your book, actually towards the end, in chapter 6, in your conclusion, you actually do draw some parallels between the corporate turnaround phases and Western-Eastern medical treatments. So yes, of course, you know, there are other ways to look after our health, not just you know, what some Western medicine, especially here in Singapore. Share with us a little bit about the what you term the Eastern medical treatment approach to corporate turnaround.
The Western medical treatment, as well as the traditional Chinese medicine, or TCM for short, medical treatments, are very much applicable also in the treatments of the corporate ailments. I brought out these analogies because it helps the reader to remember in the handling of the three different phases which I mentioned. The first phase, which is surgery, and second phase, resuscitation, very much apply the Western medical system of treatments, because it's very good for handling acute diseases, and it's very scientific. It's really the science and the nuts and bolts of corporate turnaround. Whereas the third phase, the nursing phase, is really calls for holistic recovery, and that's where the TCM really sits in very nicely, because the traditional Chinese medicine promotes the non-drug therapy. It promotes holistic recovery, because as opposed to use of phase 1 and phase 2, there are side effects. For example, in a surgical process, you are literally amputating operations, and with any amputation, there's always a negative side effect. Whereas for long-term recovery, in the third phase, it's natural you are not using any drugs, you're not using any shock therapy on the company. And that's really basically the best way for long-term recovery. And one of the things that one has to bear in mind is phase one, phase two, is use of very much the head and heart issues, because you've got to be very harsh, got to be very hard and down to earth. Whereas the third phase is very much the use of your heart and soft issues, because with the use of the head, you know, you can strategize, you can analyze, but it is really the heart that foster understanding and commitment.
Well, Dr. Ting, earlier you were sharing as well that, you know, the it seems like, you know, the really the primary criteria to establishing a company's health is their bottom line, right? Their fiscal health. So it's like, you know, whether they're making money, am I right? Just to clarify and reiterate that point I was asking you earlier, what constitutes a sick company? You were saying that it is about money, right? So it sounds like, I mean, when a company is really sick and in need of, you know, a corporate turnaround or a corporate rescue treatment, that they can't afford the luxury of a long-term treatment plan, as is often associated with, like, Eastern, perhaps traditional Chinese medicine approaches, where it's more preventative, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And it's come, you know, it's like people say, when your company is sick and really, like, in the red, it's cancer, and very often people associate, let's just cut out the tumor, which means, I suppose in that analogy, it's to downsize. It's what's happening now with many companies. Let's just cut all the excess fat or the dead wood or whatever, people who aren't contributing to the bottom line. Am I right?
Right. That's correct. It really depends on the state of the health of the company. Like you said correctly, in my book, I gave the illustration of one company which has got cancer. So the nursing treatment is not appropriate, because you have to quickly address the issue very quickly, because during the surgical phase, it's normally about 9 months to a year. That's about the kind of time frame you have to work upon. So that may not be appropriate in this instance. Whereas there are companies, which I mentioned earlier, basically, and there are many today, like for example, some multinational companies, old companies, with strong branding and so forth, but unfortunately they're not making money. So it may not be a case of surgical process as required. It may be a case of nursing, because there's something wrong perhaps with the corporate culture. It could be a corporate culture that doesn't encourage entrepreneurship, risk taking, for example, and the market dynamics and forces have overtaken them. Now I'd like to clarify here. A company is sick, not just, what you see in a P&L normally is too late. In other words, I'm saying that the P&L is in the red, normally the company is already sick. Actually, way ahead, they're already telling signs that the company is not well. And a lot of these factors are not quantifiable. For example, a high staff attrition. For example, it could be a case of a weak board of directors and dominated by incompetent but very autocratic managing director or CEO. It could be also be a case of, for example, the brand of the company is diminishing, the brand value is diminishing, but unfortunately, in a normal accounting matters, there's no way to quantify all this. So a company could well be sick way before even the rate bottom line hits them.
But they're using the analogy, you're saying that actually the CEO is kind of like the doctor, right? So he's the one that has to be able to... Actually, let's go to this fax, and that will clarify that point, because this is from Alvin, and he's faxed into the living room at 625-12938. And he goes, "Dear Dr. Ting, sick company, how does one know? Are there early warning signs?" Which I think I've just addressed. "Who should be the first in the company to spot these warning signs? What to be concerned, internal or external forces? Even if the internal forces are good, will the uncontrollable external forces impact on the company? Thank you, Alvin."
Thank you. Well, the CEO should be the first person, but unfortunately that's not happening today. And actually, the way to figure out whether the company is sick, the first person to know is really the marketplace. It is really your staff, your customers. But quite often the information doesn't percolate upwards, and the CEO doesn't even know that the company is sick. So the best way to find out whether the company is sick or not is really to go down to the grounds. Talk to your customers, talk to your staff, because they will tell you what's happening in the marketplace.
Hopefully they'll listen.
And you're right, Zuki, hopefully the CEO will listen. and admit that the company, you know, is not well.
Right, we're chatting with Dr. Teng, the author of Corporate Turnaround, Nursing a Sick Company Back to Health. If you've got a question or a comment, please call the living room now, 669-11938. 669-11938. Or email livingroom@mediacorpradio.com. livingroom@mediacorpradio.com. Perhaps we should spend some time just talking about the healthy company and portray a more positive impression here. So what constitutes a healthy company? What are some of the symptoms of a healthy, vibrant company, Dr. Teng?
Okay, a healthy company is one that can take on the onslaught of changes in the marketplace. It is one where it has a corporate culture that can accept change, that's prepared to take failures. And one important concept is the concept of chi, internal energy. A healthy company has got a chi which is not blocked. Internal energy, and basically internal energy in this case is really the passion and drive.
This is more TCM.
That's right. And you really think about it, you know, many successful companies started that way. I mean, if you look at the history of Dell Computers, Michael Dell was a founder, and during the startup of Dell Computers, he had to hide when he was in college days, you know, he had to hide his PCs and gadgetry in a friend's toilet when his parents visited him. And think about, for example, the Disneyland, you know, Walt Disney. Now, when Walt Disney started Disneyland Epcot Center, he did not have any data at hand. He was putting his reputation at stake. And look at Ford, for example. Henry Ford went bankrupt a couple of times trying to automate motor vehicles. Right? And it was really the passion and drive, the internal energy that these people have. But somehow, in many modern-day corporations today, they have lost this chi, this internal energy. And just like a human being, you know, when a person is sick, the TCM will say that, the chi is being blocked. So similarly, if you look at sick companies, quite often their drive, the chi is being blocked.
How do we unblock then, you know, whatever is blocking the chi in a company?
Yeah, that's a good question. And that's where it calls for the full works, you know, the management motivation, the reward system, the encouragement, the culture, and so forth.
Revamping.
And that's
culture.
Where the nursing process will come in, you see.
Okay. Dr. Teng, we've got Sam calling into the living room, 669-11938. Hi, Sam.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Hi, Sam.
Hi, good morning. Yes, I have a question for you, Dr. Teng. Yes, because I'm a consultant myself, so I just want to find out from you, how do you get commitment from company staff to change their mindset? Because in order for corporate restructuring to succeed, there must be a change of mindset from top to bottom. So how can we get commitment from the staff to recognize that the need to change and the change is better for them? And in most cases, corporate restructuring will equate retrenchment. Their job is at stake. So why do they want to change for the better for the company and while their job is at stake?
Yeah, that's a very good point. What's happening typically when a company is in trouble, management will commit what I call a corporate genocide. They start killing their own people. And even rats would desert a sinking ship, you know. I mean, what has happened is that with any downsizing exercise, the good people will start leaving, you know. And that's a very dangerous state to be. I call it a hemorrhage. And you hit the nail right in the head, because corporations have spent millions of dollars trying to look out for their corporate longevity. They spent thousands, millions of dollars in trying to look for corporate excellence in hardware, in investment in software and whatnot. But it missed out on the basic, and it is basically the people. They forgot that it is people, your customers, your staff, that make the company work. Now, talking about the mindset, and that's why I espouse the nursing process, because that is the whole essence, really, of a long-term and holistic recovery, to change the mindset of the people. And this you can use through the non-drug therapies as proposed in my book, through training, I call it exercise, through cultivating a healthy mental attitude in terms of having a proper succession planning, and also having rest and recreation as well, because what's happening in corporations today, there are so many changes. So the key is how to have stability amidst change, and change amidst stability. That's why I'm really appalled sometimes for managers who say that firing shall continue until morale improve. No way, right? I mean, if you continue to fire people, how can the morale improve? So that's why the third phase is very critical. And from my experience, actually I found the third phase the hardest in the whole turnaround process, because it takes a long time to change the corporate culture, and I require the CEO to drive it, and I require the ownership from the bottom, from the staff, to accept the change in the culture.
Okay, Sam, hope that helps.
Yes, can I ask another question, please?
Go ahead.
Okay. So I understand, but a lot of times is the management, the top management, the managing director, they themselves don't recognize that they need to change. They think everything is fine. So when people leave due high turnover, they think, oh well, that is one person's salary saved. So those left behind will have to take over.
That
lowers the morale, and it's a vicious cycle. It never ends.
Well, then they'll always be in sick bay. And maybe you know there are people like that, like hypochondriacs. They just love being sick. So maybe they don't want to be healthy. There's nothing to mop and whine and gripe about. You'll be out of a job.
Sam, you said it correctly, and quite often, as I mentioned just now at the outset of the session, that the cause of problem quite often is due to the CEO, and these are the internal vices. And sometimes to cure or to administer medicine to treat these internal vices, it requires a blood transfusion. You need to change
not
the whole
transplanter. I'm thinking perhaps you should have a major transplant here. Okay, Sam, thank you very much for the call, okay? We've got Mr. Chi now with us in the living room. Hi, Mr. Chi, thanks for being patient.
Hello, Duken.
Hello.
Morning, Mr. Chi.
I find it ironical that we spend thousands of dollars sending executives to medical examinations every year, and we don't bring consultants in to have a look at the company, obviously once every 2 years, to see whether they're on the right path. And that's it. Hello?
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a comment.
Oh, okay. Thanks. I believe that's what Dr. Ting shared as well.
Yeah,
right?
Mr. Chi, you said it correctly. Yeah, Mr. Chi, you said it correctly. I think, in companies, they have a regular medical checkup for staff. Unfortunately, they don't even have regular checkup for companies' health. And sometimes the use of external help would go a long way to at least tell you the state of health of the company.
Okay, thanks Mr. Chi for that question, or rather that comment. So if you would like to chat with Dr. Ting about corporate turnaround, if you've got a question or a comment, call the living room 669-11938. 669-11938, or email livingroom@mediacorpradio.com, or fax 625-12938. So Dr. Ting, just to reiterate, that downsizing is not the only way, right, in the surgery phase, your phase one, and in bringing a company back to health. Am I right to say that you don't agree that it's...
Are you working for a sick company, or are you in a sick company? We're hearing about how to nurse a sick company back to health and about corporate turnaround. This is the title of a book that was just launched by Prentice Hall. It's Corporate Turnaround, Nursing a Sick Company Back to Health, and it's available in all the bookshops now. And the author is Dr. Michael Ting. Dr. Ting is here in the living room, and he is a managing director of a U.S. Multinational company, and also the president of the Marketing Institute of Singapore. And Dr. Ting has been sharing his thoughts on corporate turnaround here in the living room. By the way, I'm Ko Joo Kim. And you can watch Dr. Ting, okay, via website, newsradio.com.sg. That's how you can also listen to us over the internet. And if you have a question for Dr. Ting about corporate turnaround, please call the living room now or in the next 5 minutes, 669-11938. 669-11938. On the earlier part of the living room, Dr. Ting was sharing more about what constitutes a healthy company. He was saying it also involves a drive and passion, which is what he relates to as being the chi on the internal energy of the company. He was sharing a bit more on a diagnosis, also talking about the Western and Eastern medical approaches using the whole medical analogy, okay, to a corporate turnaround. He was also sharing more on a holistic recovery, and
Just before the news, we were talking, answering there again, Mr. Chi's comment on management. Well, we got another comment, Dr. Ting, from Mr. Chin, who called in while the news was on, and he is saying that it's he finds that it's about managers not being proactive, right? I mean, correct me if I misheard him, and he was saying that very often they claim that there are all the bigger issues to handle, and they miss out on the day-to-day issues. So I don't know if you have anything to respond to what Mr. Chin was sharing. Dr. Ting?
Right. Mr. Chin said it correctly. Quite often, and I mentioned that at the outset of the session, that the sick company quite often is due to incompetent management. Management is not proactive to changes. And that's why I espouse the nursing process, where the company needs to build a corporate culture that is fast and flexible. Because in this knowledge-based economy, it is not the big that eat the small. It is really the fast and flexible that eat the slow. So it is very important that the management has got to be proactive, because there are so many, as mentioned just now, external vices in the marketplace, and you never know what really hits you.
Okay. Oh, is it a case of not wanting to really listen and take note of the symptoms, you know, you were sharing earlier as well, that once a company hits the red, that may be, well, I mean, it's never really too late, but it's already like very sick. And you were saying, Dr. Ting, that there are actually warning signals or symptoms before that happens. Do you feel that it's a case that, you know, perhaps the doctor, using the analogy, and you know, the team of nurses, that they just aren't paying attention to these symptoms?
Really, when the rubber hits the metal, most management would not want to admit that they have problem. So quite often you hear, for example, the management say, oh, we've got a cash cow here, and this is a sacred cow, you know, no way this business will fail. And eventually what happened is that with the market forces overwhelm them, this cow becomes a sacrificial cow. And eventually it might even end up as a cow dung. So, and this is what I call corporate management, and it's very hard, you know, it's very hard for management to be bold enough to tell the shareholders and board of directors that there's something wrong with the company. I think very few bosses have really got the guts to do so and to admit that there's some problem with the company.
So now, is that important in a corporate turnaround then, to really take note of these symptoms? I mean, when you talk about corporate turnaround, just let me clarify this, is that actually at the acute phase already, when, you know, it's in the red, right, when it's
right,
a sick company? And
In my definition of corporate turnaround, it's not just the acute cases, we're also talking about chronic cases. That's why I introduced the concept of Western medicine and traditional Chinese medicine. So it also includes healthy companies, because of perhaps their corporate arrogance, you know, they fail to see the changes of the market forces that's making them irrelevant, for example. You know.
Mm-hmm. I noticed in chapter 2 under physical and fiscal health, you've got a section there on the Asian virus. I haven't had a chance to read through that. I mean, what is the Asian virus, Dr. Ting?
Right, the Asian virus hits us in 1997 during the Asian crisis, when our regional currencies started to depreciate. And in my analysis, the Asian virus is still virulent, it's still here with us, because many Asian economies have not actually reformed. As a matter of fact, I think the recovery came very quickly, and many governments in the region have actually stopped reforming and restructuring their economies. A lot of our Asian economies are still, for example, very dependent on the American economy. And for example, right now you see the slowdown in the American economy, and that's really affecting, you know, the Asian businesses now.
Okay.
They have to do more, for example, to restructure their businesses, to make it stronger, to stimulate domestic demand.
Dr. Ting, I read somewhere in the forward, or was it in the preface, that you took like 7 years to write this book, Corporate Turnaround. What was the most challenging part of writing this book?
Well, because of my job commitments, my community work and so forth, I kind of postponed, you know, this project for some time.
So it wasn't writer's block. It wasn't because you were thinking, oh, how do I write this? What do I, what chapters do I include?
Wasn't well, that? It was a mixed bag of factors, because especially talking about business environment, it changes so quickly, you know. So when the 1997 crisis came, I told myself, look, it's my personal wish that I should try to do something, write something about the experiences I have in this area to help many distressed companies in this region.
Okay. So was it enjoyable? writing Corporate Turnaround?
I did enjoy writing this book because I've been giving talks in this area for many years. And I thought it's timely now, you know, for me to put together something in paper, you know, that I can share with many private companies here in the region.
Dr. Mike Ting is the author of Corporate Turnaround, Nursing a Sick Company Back to Health, and the book is now available in the bookshops. If you want to get more information from his website, the URL is www.geocities.com, geo as in G-E-O-C-I-T-I-E-S, www.geocities.com/corporate-turnaround, spelled as one word. Jasmine called earlier, and here's her comment. The organization always changes their corporate plans very abruptly, and many times the lower management only gets the information at the last minute. There won't be much time to change their mindset. That's the mindset of those in lower management. This is probably in response to earlier you were talking about, Sam who called up, right, saying, you know, how do you get the commitment to change mindsets?
Sure. Jasmine, you say correctly. I think, unfortunately, companies today practice what I call the pinch and budge management philosophy, or revolving door management philosophy, where they keep on changing management, they keep on changing people. And how can these companies promote loyalty? How can this company promote commitment when they're not committed to their people? That's why, again, going back to my point, at the end of the day, it is really the people, because it is only people they have around in the company that will make the company work.
Well, Dr. Tim, what if the management turns around and says, but the people aren't committed to the company, so... And so this whole, you know, mindset now that I can always look, there's only going to be greener pastures.
Yeah.
The company loyalty is a thing of, you know, my grandfather's time, I think, where they stay with the company for 25 years. Now it's like, hey, I can always move on.
Right. I think that there's a paradox here, really. You know? You need to change amidst stability. You need to maintain stability amidst change. And how do you handle this? It's really a $60,000 question. And experienced managers should know. When is the right time to inject certain amount of change, you know, to the company? I still personally believe that loyalty and commitment are critical for companies because, as I mentioned just now, it is really the people that make the company work, and not the systems and hardware and software.
Okay, so Dr. Ting, as a specialist, I suppose, because you were saying, you know, like, let's keep to the medical analogy. I mean, the CEO is a doctor, and perhaps a doctor will need, you know, a specialist to come in and help with nursing the company, or, you know, providing some advice on how to bring the company back to health, or even a healthier company more to a vibrant health. What are the steps, really, and what, you know, do you actually look for when you go in and start to suggest a corporate turnaround? Do you straight away first just look at the P&L, you know, you look at the books? I mean, can you share with us, is there like a process, and what are the, you know, really pertinent, important areas that you'll look at in order to effect a successful corporate turnaround?
I think the as an external consultant, by the way, I'm not a consultant, but if I were an external consultant, what I'll do is, of course, I would look at the financial statements that the company has. But the financial statement doesn't tell you anything. I mean, you have to really get down to the ground. And the best way is actually to go out there, talk to the customers, talk to the staff concerned, because you can learn a lot. Quite often, in a sick company, there's a lot of rumor mongering and so forth. It could be a case of poor communication, because the information is not passed down, you know, to the staff, or misunderstood by the staff. And it could also be a case, for example, of a cash flow problem. I mean, that because of the genetic diversity and of companies, there's different problems impinging on the companies. So I think one has to really get down to the ground and find out, just apart from just purely looking at the financial statements.
Okay, and what happens after that? After getting down to the ground, you move up to the lofty towers.
Yeah. No, not exactly. You have to determine at which stage the company is, whether they need a surgery, do they need a resuscitation, because doctor will tell you, surgery is always second best. If something else better, try. Don't try surgery. And it could well be a case of a dysfunctional corporate culture. So if it is a case of surgery, you need to have fast action, because the market will be there. They'll be very impatient. They want to see quick results. So the first thing you have to do is to straight away form a turnaround team. You know? And that's where you may have to involve people from within the company and also even seeking external help from the turnaround team, which should be basically a catalyst for you to carry out your turnaround endeavors.
Okay. That's the thing. Does that mean that when it comes to corporate turnaround and nursing a sick company back to health, that it really involves the nurses, the doctors, so to speak, are the people on the management decision level? What about, I'm just going to say, I mean, I don't mean it disparagingly, but the mere employee, will you ever be part of the turnaround team then, or part of the nursing team?
Yeah, the turnaround team does not just comprise key managers. Okay, it could well comprise informal leaders. Okay, these people could be the workers, could be operators. You want to get these people on the turnaround team because down the line you need to implement certain unpopular measures and you need the people's support. So you need to bring on board too in a turnaround team people from the ground, not necessarily just management. So, and you say correctly, the turnaround process is not just a management effort. It requires the support of the whole company.
Okay, so if I had to press you to say what's the most important thing in a corporate turnaround, what would your answer be, Dr. Ting?
The key, the whole crux of a corporate turnaround is really the people. As I mentioned just now, companies, when they get in trouble, the first thing they do is they start firing people. This is a time when you have to keep all the good people, because no good people want to work for a sinking company. And all the more so, you have to try to retain good people within the fold to help you in the turnaround efforts.
Does that mean, Dr. Ting, that you can go ahead and fire the bad people?
Well, okay, I do not subscribe to a one-size-fits-all downsizing exercise, because what happens is good people also get fired in the process. But sometimes downsizing is inevitable, because you have to perhaps let go of 5% of the workforce to save 95% of the team. But the way to do it, as proposed in my book, is to look at dysfunctional personnel. There are actually two types of dysfunctional personnel, which are classified as benign and benignant tumors. Particularly those are malignant tumors, that they could be people who are really working against the company, taking money, for example, taking bribes and so forth. And I think the lesson I've learned is to be quick in trying to cut away this malignant tumor before they turn cancerous.
Okay. Dr. Ting, thank you so much for being with us in the living room and sharing more on a corporate turnaround and nursing a sick company back to health. Thank you.
Thank you.
My guest in the living room today is Dr. Mike Ting. Dr. Ting is the president of the Marketing Institute of Singapore. He is also a managing director of a U.S. multinational company that's based here in Singapore. He's been recognized as a turnaround CEO in Asia, and he's just written this book, Corporate Turnaround, Nursing a Sick Company Back to Health. It's published by Prentice Hall, and it was just launched on Saturday, and it's available in all the major leading bookshops here in Singapore. If you want to get more information about Dr. Ting's book, Corporate Turnaround, please visit www.geocities.com/corporate-turnaround, GEOCITIES, and Corporate Turnaround spelled as one word. www.geocities.com/corporate-turnaround. I'm Koju Kim. Thanks very much for being in the living room today. And for more scintillating conversation, I hope you'll join me tomorrow and find out who and what I'll be talking about. By the way, I know I haven't updated the webpage. I will be doing it this afternoon, so you can get more information about the living room if you want to spoil your surprise. Go visit newsradio.com.sg under categories, click on schedule, and then click on the living room. But if you do it now, you'll see last week's topics, okay? I'm going to update it as soon as I run out of the living room, so please bear with me for about 20 minutes. Alright, I'll talk with you tomorrow in the living room on News Radio 938. Have a fabulous day.